Hear now God's word from the Gospel according to St. John chapter 21, and I will be reading through verse 17. Our focus is going to be on verses 15 through 17. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of the fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some fish that you've just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Jesus said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Jesus said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he had said the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, thank you for this incredible Gospel of John that your Holy Spirit inspired. The truth, the gospel, good news that it has been teaching us and continues to teach us even this morning. So I pray once again for the working of your Holy Spirit, making your word come alive, the gospel come alive. May your word penetrate deep into our hearts and our understanding. Grant us faith, increase our faith through the preaching of your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you look in your bulletins, you'll see that I titled this morning's sermon, Unfinished Business. And I titled it this way because that's exactly the situation between Peter and Jesus. Peter had denied Christ three times. And Peter had committed this grievous sin at the very worst of times. And as a result, Peter's sin against Christ had caused a break in their relationship. And restoration was sorely needed. So place yourself in Peter's shoes. Over in Matthew 26, we see that Jesus had warned his disciples earlier, you will all fall away because of me this night. But impulsive, rash Peter immediately and without any hesitation loudly boasted, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. So again, place yourself in Peter's shoes. For just a few hours later, after Peter's great boast, what did Peter do? Peter, not just once, not even twice, but three full times, Peter denied the Lord. And to add to Peter's profound distress at failing so very, very quickly after his boast, in Luke 22 we read, "And the Lord, after Peter had denied him, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter." I would guess that that look on the Lord's face in response to Peter's denial, Peter's sin, I would guess that the look on the Lord's face was a combination of deep personal hurt and disappointment. Because remember, even though Christ is God, he's also fully human. And that look, there's that look of hurt, but also combined with a profound sense of love and grace over Peter's frailty. All of that at the same time is what I would imagine was on the Lord's face as he looked at Peter when Peter had denied him. And I can't but imagine that Christ's face, that Christ's look, must have haunted Peter's conscience afterwards. So that is part of the background to what's taking place here. Here in verses 15 to 17 in John chapter 21. And so, in other words, if there's anything that Peter needed, if there's any unfinished business here, it would be Peter needed to be restored to Christ. He was to have this broken relationship, Peter's, haunted conscience healed. This is the unfinished business which Christ is dealing with here. And this then brings us to two great truths of the Christian faith, which this passage lays before us for our tremendous encouragement. First of all, God, through Jesus Christ and the cross, is in the gospel business of restoring broken relationships. It's glorious. In a world of sin and hurt, in a world of strife and insults and divorce and wars and offenses and hatred and prejudice and misunderstanding, there is no greater need than the good news that God, through Christ, heals broken relationships. Broken relationships between God and ourselves and broken relationships amongst ourselves. And there's a second great piece, by the way, of unfinished gospel business taking place in these three verses. Jesus here is not only restoring Peter to himself, fully reassuring him of his love and forgiveness, but Jesus is also restoring fallen Peter as an apostle. He's also restoring Peter as an apostle. Think about it. If Jesus had not said to Peter what he did and repeated it three times, "Feed my sheep," there would always have been that lingering question as to whether or not Peter was qualified to continue as an apostle. And you know what? In all of this, what Christ was doing was exhibiting that great gospel truth that God's forgiving and restoring grace in Christ is greater than even the worst of our sins. Do you realize that? That's part of the message. God's grace in Christ is even greater than the worst of human sin. So let's begin by looking at Christ's three questions that he presented to Peter. And as I read these three questions, again, place yourself in Peter's shoes and imagine how Peter's distress grew with each repetition. Verses 15, 16, and 17. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And then Jesus said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And then a third time Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Now, something you have to keep in mind is that these questions were not asked in private. Perhaps the fire, the coals over which this breakfast of fish had been cooked, they're now burned down. They're just smoldering there. And they're all sitting there together, the disciples in Christ. And it's in front of the other disciples, with all of them listening in, that Christ posed these three questions, these three heart-searching, heart-penetrating questions to Peter. Peter's sin had been a public sin. Peter had boasted in front of the others, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And yet, Peter had gone ahead and denied the Lord those three terrible times. As Paul warns, "Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall." And so even for the other disciples, Peter's status as an apostle and even his relationship with Christ, well, there was doubt about it all. And so this, again, is the unfinished business being taken care of here. But something else we have to keep in mind at the same time is that the other disciples themselves had deserted Jesus at Jesus' arrest and trial. And so I would imagine that they also, as they were sitting around those smoldering coals and listening in, well, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they too weren't squirming a bit as Jesus was questioning Peter whether he loved him or not. And thus I suspect that even the other disciples, right along with Peter, learned in an even deeper way and personal level how deep and wide and profound God's forgiving grace in Christ really is. And as Jesus was asking Peter, "Do you love me?" they were quite likely all asking themselves the very same question. Do I really love Jesus? And part of the reason that I suspect this about them is because every time I read this text, and maybe the same is true for you, every time I read this text, this question, "Do you love me?" I always find myself questioning my own heart and my own love for Christ. And as a result, I always find myself clinging to God's grace in Christ all the more, knowing how imperfect my own love for Christ actually is. What about you? What about you as well? And yes, I know in all of this, that in the previous chapter, Jesus had announced peace to his disciples as they had been gathered in that locked room. But at least in this present life, and as we saw last week, we still struggle with doubts, don't we? Even doubts that we're truly forgiven. And that's why we need, in fact, it's spiritually healthy for us to hear the gospel good news of God's forgiveness, God's magnificent grace again and again and again. It's the good news of the gospel that has shaped the church's liturgies on down through the history of the church. Do you realize that? The gospel shapes our own liturgy, and that's how it has been for the last 2,000 years, really, even into the Old Testament. Because what are the temple sacrifices but a proclamation pointing forward to Christ? The gospel each week is not just evangelistically directed to non-believers, but the gospel is always also proclaimed to we who already believe, because we need it again and again. So, returning to Christ's threefold questioning of Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Jesus' repetition was not meant to be mean-spirited, sort of grinding it in a sense. That wasn't the spirit whatsoever. Rather, the work of bringing Peter to a deep and full repentance over his prideful boasting was serious, needful, even painful business. That's the unfinished business being taken care of here. The Lord understood that in Peter's case, a deep-reaching grief was needed for such a huge sin. This was needed in order to be able to truly restore fallen Peter to such a serious and trust-filled office as apostle and pastor. And as we see Peter's deep-reaching grief in verse 17, we see it here, verse 17, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" Jesus is going deep into Peter's heart to bring cleansing and forgiveness and restoration and repentance. And by the way, Jesus was up to something additional with his threefold repetition. In that, Jesus' threefold repetition of that question, "Do you love me?" matched Peter's threefold denial of Christ. So putting together what Christ was seeking to accomplish with this threefold repetition, for each time that Peter had denied Christ, I do not know the man. Peter now, in saying what he said in response, you know I love you. What Peter was doing was replacing those denials now with, yes, Lord, you know I love you. See what's happening? The heart is being cleansed. This is one of the ways that we deal with sin. We find it, for example, in Ephesians and Colossians. We put off the old sin. But we don't just put off sin and then sort of leave that vacuum there. We replace the sin with proper things, holy thoughts, holy words, holy actions. I do not know the man. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And so what Jesus was doing was, for the sake of Peter's conscience, was bringing him to that deeper cleansing repentance and rebuilding that broken relationship. It was truly beautiful. This then brings us to our second main point, which is that in this process here of gospel restoration, Jesus was demonstrating just how gloriously wide and deep God's forgiving grace really is. So I want you to observe something critical here. Every single time that Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, Jesus never ever contradicted Peter's confession of love. You realize that? Personally, there's something in me when I read this text and I read that Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. I always expect Jesus to say, really? Do you really love me? That's what I always expect. I almost expect to hear Jesus saying that to me. But Jesus never ever here, look closely. Jesus never ever here responded to Peter's profession of love by saying, no, you don't really love me. Instead, Jesus' reply each time must have shocked Peter as much as it takes us by surprise, because he instead responded, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Rather than some sort of a three strikes and you're out law operating here, what we behold instead is an incredible, forgiving, restoring, patient grace. And this wasn't just a restoration of Peter's relationship with Jesus. This was an astounding reinstatement of Peter to the position of a trustworthy and responsible shepherd of Christ and founder, shepherd and founder of Christ's church. This was a restoration of Peter's apostleship. This is huge. Listen carefully to God's incredible, almost unbelievable grace as laid out by David, who himself had fallen and been restored. Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2 and 8 through 14. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For the Lord knows our frame, and he remembers that we are but dust. You see the second point? How wide and high and glorious and mind-blowing God's grace really is. This then is grace upon magnificent grace. Again, he does not deal with us according to our sins. He dealt with Christ on the cross according to our sins, right? But he does not deal with us who believe according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. In regards to Christ's ministry of grace to Peter here. Ian Hamilton says it so beautifully. The whole initiative lies with the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter cannot restore himself. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot restore ourselves. It is the grace of God that comes to us in our undoneness, in our brokenness. Be of good cheer. Christ Jesus makes you whole. This is where we anchor our lives, in the God who is more of grace than we are of sin. This is the anchor of our lives, the God who is more of grace than we are of sin. Now, I believe I've already said this, but the reason why Jesus commanded Peter three times, "Feed my sheep," was to restore Peter to office in such a clear manner that no one could later question Peter's fitness as an apostle, as a founder of Christ's church. Now, perhaps you've seen the clips on television of the megachurch pastor who has fallen into some grievous sin, and there he is standing in front of the cameras, tears streaming down his face. And before you know it, the church has deemed a few tears as a sufficient sign of repentance, and they've quickly, surprisingly, shockingly quickly, restored the megachurch pastor. And from what we learn from Jesus' own restoration of Peter to apostleship is that fallen pastors and elders and deacons can indeed be restored to office. But on the one hand, we need to remember that Jesus was able to read Peter's heart. Peter said, "Lord, you know everything. You know my heart." And thus Jesus could restore Peter this quickly, even though a number of days have gone by. However, we cannot see into the human heart. And so for us, things must move slowly and very carefully. The man has to be removed from office. He needs to publicly confess his transgression, and a very thorough process of repentance and growth and change and discipline needs to take place. As Rick Phillips points out, such restorations are actually quite rare in the church. And this is because fallen leaders are seldom willing to deeply humble themselves, and thus the church is unable to determine if a full and deep-rooted repentance has truly taken place. That's just part of the reality in a fallen world. And so it needs to be slow, and great care has to be taken before an officer in the church is restored after great sin. And regarding Peter, because of his great boasting that he would never deny the Lord, and yet he had turned right around and did it, denied Christ. Well, unless Christ had done something this dramatic, a cloud of suspicion, a cloud of lingering doubts as to Peter's fitness to be an apostle would have remained in the minds of the rest of the apostles, as well as in the mind of the early church. And so Christ told Peter again, not once, not twice, but a full three times, "Feed my sheep," thereby dispelling all of those doubts and finishing that unfinished business of restoring Peter. And again, I have to say it again, what an incredible display of God's magnificent grace this restoration exhibited for all to behold and all to wonder at. And this is a great gospel truth that we all need to penetrate deep into our hearts when we really blow it like Peter did. And even though we confess our sin and we come to hate that sin and we repent of that sin, we can still struggle with great doubts that our Lord still loves us, that He has forgiven us, and that he truly, truly, truly embraces us. And so one thing that we can do is to remember how here the Lord restored Peter even after he had committed what the church down through the centuries has recognized one of the huge sins in the Bible. This was no little sin. This is considered to be one of the biggies. And yet Peter forgave him. I mean, Jesus forgave Peter and restored him. And so we need to take comfort from what we see here. And now one final point, which has to do with Christ's threefold commission to Peter. He said, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Now, these are simply three variations in phrasing, three variations of the very same thing. The task of the apostle, the task of the pastor is to feed and nourish the hearts and souls and faith of Christ's sheep through the ministry of God's word. And you know what? It's so wonderful to turn just a few pages in our Bibles and see that Peter obeyed this commission. For the very first thing that Peter did on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 was stand up and deliver an incredible expository sermon from the Old Testament, no less, presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And also in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we find a description of the early church. And pay careful attention to the task of the apostles. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. This was the great ministry of the apostles, and it remains the ministry of ministers to this very day. Feed my sheep. I remain grateful. This is part of what was going through my mind and heart in as I was studying this text. I remain grateful that in seminary, those many years ago now, that it was drilled into us that the first task of the pastor is feeding Christ's sheep through the proclamation of God's word. In fact, we were even taught, and I fear it, with church growth, much of the modern church has lost us. We were even taught that the way that you grow a church is through the faithful expounding of God's word Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And this is why, by the way, attendance on Sunday is so important. This is where God, in his magnificent grace, especially feeds your heart and your soul. And if I may, I want to quickly slip in one more point from Christ's words to Peter, something that struck me as I was driving from Tucson back to town earlier this week. Jesus said, feed my sheep. He didn't say, feed the sheep. He said, feed my sheep. This is so beautifully personal. And this is what the gospel and the work of Christ does. God is in the business of restoring relationships, restoring us to himself. Christ knows you if you're trusting in him. Christ knows you and he loves you personally. You are precious to him and he is never, ever going to let you go. Always hold close to your heart what Jesus proclaimed over in John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Feed my sheep. And so, putting it all together, what we have here in our passage is Jesus taking care of some unfinished necessary business. In a sense, that's why we have chapter 21 where it is. This unfinished business of restoring fallen but truly repentant Peter, both to himself as well as to the office of apostle. This is what the gospel is all about. God in Christ restoring, healing, mending sin-broken hearts and sin-broken relationships, healing and restoring our broken relationship with God as well as our broken relationships with one another. And so once again, as throughout John's gospel, what we have here is a truly profound, incredible display of just how high and wide and deep God's forgiving and restoring grace really is. Truly, God's restoring and forgiving grace is greater than even the greatest of our sins. Let's pray. Lord, we find ourselves astounded that you did something like restore Peter to the office of apostle, even to a position of preeminence within the early church which he had. Lord, we find it even more amazing, perhaps, that you forgive us even for our sin, our faulty love. Lord, impress upon our hearts, comfort our hearts more and more, truly with just how deep and wide and deep and profound your forgiving grace is. Thank you for your sacrifice, which is even bigger than the biggest of our sins. Help us to find our comfort and hope and encouragement in these great gospel truths. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen.